Okay, let's pray. Lord, we've heard your word read to us, and now we pray that you'd open our hearts and our ears, Lord, that we might receive everything that you want to say to us, and all the ways you want to challenge us and change us this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. We welcome you and we invite you to have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful. So, our service this morning is all about waiting. Excellent. Does anybody enjoy waiting? No. But, you know, given our obsession with queues, okay, you could be forgiven for thinking that English people really do like waiting. But we don't, do we? We hate it. We hate it because waiting isn't easy. And sometimes, as we've said already, waiting can be really frustrating. Like when you're in a traffic jam on the motorway and there's nothing you can do. You just got to wait for the traffic to clear. Ah! Anybody hear me? Anybody with me on that? Yeah. What about this one? If you're waiting on the phone, wait, listening to the same piece of music over and over again as you're on hold, and it's like, you are 14th in the queue. Your call is important to us, but not so important that we'll get more people to answer the phones. But your call is important to us, please. And finally you get to number 3, 2, 1, you think, brilliant, nearly there. And then you're waiting again for another 10 minutes because the person who's on before you has obviously got some really big issue they want to talk about. So frustrating. Hate it. That kind of waiting is really frustrating, isn't it? Really frustrating. But you know, there are other types of waiting which are much harder. And I know that some of you have been waiting for months, even years, for a decision on your asylum claims, or even an interview. And others are struggling with ill health, or you've got a loved one who is. And you're just wondering when that breakthrough is going to come, when that healing is coming. And maybe you've had relationship or money issues, problems like involving money or relationships that you've, for so long, that you've forgotten what it feels like not to have that worry hanging over you. Or perhaps you're struggling with loneliness or rejection, and you're longing for a friend to come alongside you. You see, life can be hard. Life can be really hard. But waiting for our breakthrough can be even harder. And the passage from the Bible that we've heard this morning was written to people who really knew what it was like to struggle with no obvious end in sight. Because life was really hard for them too. Most of them were poor, looked down on, and badly treated by the people who they worked for. And sometimes they weren't even paid for the work that they did. So they and their families went hungry. And I'm sure that like us, they struggled too. They struggled to understand how God could allow them to go through such hard situations. And maybe you can identify with that this morning. So James, who by the way is believed to have been the brother of Jesus, okay, Jesus' half-brother, James wrote a letter to them to encourage them and to help them to stay faithful to Jesus through the hard times that they were experiencing. And did you hear? What the message, what James's message to them was at the start of our Bible reading this morning in verse 7? I'll tell you. It was this. Be patient. What? Be patient. That's your advice, James? Thanks a bunch. Be patient. Surely there's got to be more to it than that. Well, that's not where the verse ends, okay? James does say, be patient, but what he says next is much more important. He says, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. James wants them, and he wants us to know that the hard times are not going to last forever because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and when he does, he will put everything right. He'll get rid of all the bad stuff in our lives. There'll be no more suffering, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sin anymore. And James says that we're to be patient as we wait for that day. But if that's all he said, that'd be not that much more helpful, would it? Okay, yes, we know that Jesus is coming, but how are we to be patient as we wait for that day? Well, that's where we need some help. So I wonder if there's a volunteer who would like to come up. Maybe a volunteer about that height or smaller. Okay? Anybody? Elsie, you're coming. Good for you. Give Elsie a round of applause. Okay, so Elsie, the question is, how can we be patient? What does James say about how we can be patient? Ready? Get it out now. Take your shoes off. Take your boots off, please. Thank you. That's it. Pop those on. And then we're going to pop. They're massive. I know they're massive. I've got massive ones so that anybody could wear them. There we go. There we go. And the other one as well. You got the one. Right, Kate. Okay. And this too. That one. So the answer to the question, how can we be patient, is this, basically, put on your flat cap and your wellies. Who knows what else he's dressed up as? Use your imaginations. A Yorkshire person, close. Farmer, excellent, well done, Zach. A farmer, yes, a farmer. James says, in this passage, he says, we need to think like farmers. You see, farmers have to be patient while they're waiting for their crops to grow, don't they? There's nothing they can do to make their crops grow any quicker. Who grows their own vegetables here? Or tomatoes and all that? Morris does. No, Morris does. Elsie does. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. Khaled. Helen. Yeah. Okay. When you plant your seeds in the ground, is there anything you can do apart from water them occasionally? Anything you can do to make them grow faster? No, there's nothing. You just got to wait, haven't you? You just got to wait. And you trust that the crops will bear fruit at the right time. That's what farmers do. And of course, by and large, if the conditions are right, that's exactly what happens. The seeds germinate, they grow, and they bear fruit. And the farmers are rewarded for their patience. That's what James says. Farmers are rewarded for their patience. And it's the same with us. You know, when we're going through hard times, it can be really frustrating waiting for God to act. But we can be sure that just as seeds do grow and bear fruit, so in time, God will act. And one day, Jesus will return. He will return to put everything right. And that day will come sooner than you think. Verse 8 tells us that. But in the meantime, we just have to be patient. But waiting is so hard, right? Surely there's something we can do, isn't there? Well, the good news is that yes, there is. There is something we can do, but it's not what you might expect. Anyone know what this is? It's not a medieval torture device, okay? Anybody know what that is? Loosens the soil? Yeah? Gets the dandelions out. Okay, so farmers, they do have to wait and be patient, but they're not sitting on the backsides doing nothing all that time while they're waiting for the crops to grow. No, there's work to be done, like weeding and hoeing. They need to get rid of all those things that will stop their crops from growing properly. And it's hard work. It's really hard work, but it's necessary. And it's the same with us. Because, you know, weeds can grow in our lives if we're not careful, especially when life is stressful. We can find ourselves getting irritated with other people or looking for someone to blame for the predicament that we're in or somebody to take our frustrations out on. We all do it, don't we? But that's a problem. Because when we do that, it can destroy our relationships with each other. And it can prevent other people coming to know Jesus. Because Jesus said that the way people will know that we're his disciples is if we constantly have a go at each other and backbite and pick on each other. Is that right? No. Thank you, Sandra. Sandra reads the Bible. Excellent. How does Jesus say? He says, they will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So if we don't love one another, it's going to get in the way of people coming to know Jesus. And God has made us to be one big family in Christ. And so that means when irritations crop up, when grudges, jealousies, and resentments arise like weeds threatening to divide us, we need to get rid of them. We need to be ruthless in weeding them out. Now, in my house, okay, I'm going to be honest with you now. Sometimes in my house, we have fallouts. Very occasionally. We never do. And it tends to happen around breakfast time or tea time, but not necessarily around those times, okay? And we've got this thing, sometimes, and I'm not going to say who's doing this, okay? Yep. But sometimes we start to bicker, and we can start, tempers can get heightened, voices can get raised, and things can get pretty heated. But then Abby, who's always the voice of reason in our house, okay, will say, "Hey, remember, we're a family. We love each other." And it's true. We do. Most of the time. But when we remember that, when we remember that we're a family and that we love each other, we start to calm down and we start to treat each other in a kinder way. And you know, the same applies to us as a church. Okay, there are going to be times when we get frustrated, when we're waiting for something and it's hard, it's frustrating, it's painful. Okay, and tempers start to fray and we start wanting to pick at other people or blame other people. It happens. But it's so important for our relationships with each other and for our witness to the world that when those things arise, we take action. We don't let them grow and bear more weed seeds, but rather we root them out at source, remembering that we're a family, we love each other, and that's how we're to be. But more than that, we need to remember that we all are loved. I'm loved. You are loved. We're loved so much that Jesus gave his life for us on the cross to bring us back to God and to bring us, to reconcile us to each other. And because we're all loved and forgiven by God, instead of grumbling about each other, we need to love and forgive one another. Because if we don't, James says that we will be judged. It is that serious. So we need to forgive each other, to work hard to love each other, to get rid of those weeds. And that will help us to be patient as we wait for the Lord's return. One final thing before I shut up. It is hard to be patient, okay? It's really hard to be patient. But James says it will be worth it. Because just as the farmers gather in a precious harvest, he says, so we will experience the priceless joy of eternal life with God, which is more precious than anything else. And just as Job, James talks about, we can read about him in the Old Testament, just as Job was eventually set free from his suffering and experienced great blessing in the end, he was fully restored and then some. So will we be when Jesus returns. It doesn't matter how hard life gets now, when Jesus returns, all will be put right and it will all be worth it in the end. Because, as we read in verse 11, even though life gets tough sometimes, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He is full of compassion and mercy for you and for me. His love and mercy will never run dry. It's for you this morning. So if you're feeling this morning that you're struggling, if you're feeling far from God, if you're feeling that you've been waiting so long, you're almost giving up, remember this. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy for you. And he invites you to draw close to him. So as I wrap up, I wonder, Khaled, are you able just to come and translate this bit for me? Thank you. Thank you. So I just wonder, what are you struggling with at the moment? In what ways are you finding life hard?
در حال حاضر با چه چیزی دست و پنجه نرم می‌کنید؟ در چه راهی زندگی را سخت می‌بینید؟
I want to encourage you right now, in the quiet, just to take a moment to talk to God about it and ask him to help you, to give you fresh hope as you wait for him.
حالا یک لحظه در مورد آن با خدا صحبت کنید. از او بخواهید که به شما کمک کند و در حالی که منتظر او هستید به شما امید تازه‌ای بدهد.
And maybe if you'd find it helpful, some people find it helpful to do something as they're praying. Well, if that's you, whether you're a child or an adult, it's fine. You can come and do this. You can come and plant some seeds in some compost as a way of saying to God, that you want to try and wait patiently for him and keep your hope in him no matter what. That's one thing that you can do.
اگر آن را مفید می‌دانید، شاید می‌توانید به جلوی جایگاه بیایید و دانه‌ای را در گلدان کوچکی بکارید تا به خدا بگویید که تلاش می‌کنید و صبورانه منتظر می‌مانید، نه اینکه در هر شرایطی که خودتان را در آن دیدید امیدتان را از دست بدهید.
And when you take your little plant pot away and you wait for the seed to sprout, you're not going to see anything at first. That doesn't mean nothing's happening. It is happening. It's just happening under the surface. And in the same way, often we can't see all that God is doing in our lives until much later on. But let these plant pots with their seeds inside be a reminder that God is at work in your life, even if you can't see it.
می توانید گلدان کوچک گیاه خود را بردارید و منتظر بمانید تا بذر جوانه بزند. شما در ابتدا هیچ اتفاقی را نمی بینید. این بدان معنا نیست که هیچ اتفاقی نمی افتد. البته که اتفاق می افتد، بلکه درست زیر سطح است. به همین ترتیب اغلب ما نمی توانیم تمام کارهایی که خدا در زندگی ما انجام می دهد را تا مدت ها بعد ببینیم. اما این بدین معنا نیست که او کاری انجام نمی دهد.
So the band are going to come up and lead us. That's one thing you can do. The other thing you might want to do is just come forward for prayer. There will be people here ready to pray for anybody who needs prayer this morning. If you're struggling with anything at all, please don't stay struggling in your seat. Come forward and receive prayer.
اگر هر مشکلی دارید، هر خواسته‌ای دارید، ما اینجا آمدیم که برای شما دعا کنیم. لطفاً بیاین جلوی جلگاه. هر مشکلی تو زندگیتون دارید، هر چیزی که دست پاچه نمی‌کنید، برای کسانی هستن که برای شما مشتاقانه دعا می‌کنن.
Brilliant. So the band are going to lead us. Let's give Elsie a round of applause as she goes back to her seat. Thank you, Elsie. So come and plant some seeds. There's colouring sheets, or come forward for prayer, and let's respond.